Welcome. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I hope everybody had a great Labor Day week. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the trying times in our life, the tough times in our life. Two Sundays ago, I spoke about seasons of waiting. Last week, I talked about when storms come. Now, I talked to you and I told you how exciting it is when the Holy Spirit works in my planning. When the Holy Spirit works when I'm studying for a Sunday message. And He did the exact same thing this week. This week's message goes along with the last 2 weeks. And it's exciting. And it's exciting to be a part of. It's exciting to watch. It's exciting to think how it's going to turn out. But as I said, it's a tough matter, a tough subject matter, what I've talked about the last 2 weeks. Again, the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, I talked about those periods in our life of waiting, the seasons of waiting. Last week, I talked about when storms come in your life. And both of these subjects, they're a less than desirable topic, to say the least. I mean, we don't like to wait. We don't like tough times. So you might even call them a bad situation. I mean, times when it seems like everything's mounting up against you. And you're wondering, how long is this going to last? How long is this going to take? Maybe it's a serious illness. Maybe it's a loved one that has been seriously ill and has passed away. Maybe a career that you didn't count on is now coming to an end. Or what about if a child that's been very strong-willed and you're trying to deal with it? No matter what it was, no matter what it is that you were dealing with, have dealt with, or you are dealing with, the cry is always the same. How much longer, Lord? That's the title of today's message. How much longer, Lord? Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this Sunday morning. I thank You for an opportunity to come and to be able to share with the people that are watching and listening. Share with them what You've laid on my heart. And I love to watch how this has developed over 3 weeks. It's not a series that I planned out, but instead something that the Holy Spirit has led me in. And I'm so grateful and so honored, so humbled and so thankful to You for it. Lord, I just pray that You fill me with the Holy Spirit and be able to share that with listeners and the people watching. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's scripture comes from the book of Psalms. And I want to take a look at a Bible hero. I want to take a look at King David and one of the stories, one of the small chapters that he wrote, and see how it applies to us in relation to how much longer, Lord. So if you've got your Bibles with you, let's flip over to Psalms 13. I'm going to read 1 through 6. Psalms chapter 13, 1 through 6. And this is how it reads. Actually, it's an entire chapter. Psalms 13, 1 through 6. Now, this is David, and this is him saying this. He's saying, "How long, Lord, will You forget me forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemies will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall. but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, our scripture reading this morning, it comes from a period in King David's life when he is hiding from something, or he is scared, or he is weighted down by something, and he cries out to God. He actually cries out to God, and he says, "How long, Lord? How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" If you counted up the amount of times that he said, "How long, Lord?" Four times. He said this four times in these short little verses. "How long, Lord?" I mean, that's some powerful words coming from a man who had a very intimate relationship with God. I mean, this is a relationship that David had with God that was something that we would want, that we would desire. And he asks God. Now, he doesn't really just ask God. He shouts out, "How long, Lord?" A man that was in a deep relationship with God cries out to him. Whatever it was that David was going through, he is struggling with, okay? He's struggling not just with the circumstances, but by his crying out, we understand he's struggling with not having the Lord's presence in those difficult times. You've been there, right? You've experienced those tough times when it feels like maybe the Lord's not there, he's silent. And in those times, we try to make sense. David was doing the same thing, trying to make sense of our tough times. Right? Last week, our storms. Trying to make sense of our storms that come in our life. Trying to make sense of those periods in our life where we're just waiting. And all that comes up is silence. Nothing. You know, I've heard people say silence is golden. Yeah, let me tell you something. When silence doesn't come from God, or when silence does come from God, it's anything but golden. To put it bluntly, it feels like life has come to an end. For me, that's the way it is. But you see, listen, it's not that David is beginning to doubt the existence of God. David knows God. He knows that God exists, but he felt that he was crying out, is bouncing off the ceiling, that his heavenly Father has turned his back on him. It seemed as if this relationship between David and God had somehow clouded over, and he was felt all alone. He felt like he was left alone, surrounded by darkness. So understand something. You're not the first person to ever experience those tough times, those storms, those periods of waiting. You're not a terrible heathen, right? You're not crazy. Scripture is filled with the cries of godly men and women who go through periods of time like this. Listen to this. Elijah, he wanted to die. Okay? Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he cried so much. Ezekiel endured the death of his wife during his ministry. Daniel was torn from his home as a young boy, and then he was led into captivity in Babylon. Hosea suffered patiently through a heartbreaking marriage. Amos faced lies and scorn throughout his entire ministry. And all we have to do is mention the name of Job, and we know a man who cried out to God in despair. Literally cried out to God in despair. Godly men and women who suffered, and yes, listen to me, yes, questioned God. I'm going to say it again. Godly men and women that we can see throughout the Bible that questioned God. Now, they didn't question who God was. They were questioning God for what they needed. Godly men and women all through the Bible that have experienced those tough times, those trying times in their life. And the same is true with us. Times where we feel like there's no light at the end of that tunnel, right? Or what about the times in your life where you feel like you're in that tunnel and you can't figure out whether to go to this side or this side because you can't see light on either end? Been there too, right? And it's in those times, it's when you feel like you're in that tunnel that the devil tries to deceive us into believing that that is the truth, that that is it, right? That in spite of Jesus' great sacrifice for you, God's abandoned you. Satan will fill our minds with thoughts that God's with everybody else but me. But that's not true. God is with us all, as well as everybody else. He's with everyone. And David is in one of those dark times. He's in that tunnel, if you will. So he cries out, "How long, Lord? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long must I wallow in this muck, in this mire of confused emotions?" No matter how hard David struggles, no matter how hard he tries, he can't come up with a plan of escape. He can't figure out how to get out of that tunnel. No matter how hard he struggled, he could not escape. You ever felt like him? Your thoughts try to convince you that God no longer loves you. That you deserve, you know, that terrible fate. That for some reason God must be punishing you for something that you did. You're emotionally bankrupt with no reserve. You feel like you're done, right? You just want to give up. Can't take no more. You're barely limping along and you see no way out. David knew that feeling. You're not alone. Our biblical hero, King David, felt the same thing, okay? And in the midst of it all, he calls out. Take a look at verse 3 real quick. He calls out in verse 3, "Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death." Give light. He's, "God, give light to my eyes or just let me sleep in death." Now, we don't know exactly what's going on in his circumstances. We don't know exactly what's going on in that particular time in David's life. But we know that much of his stress comes from people that are trying to kill him. Okay? So perhaps what we're reading here in this chapter is a threat to his life that's very, very literal. Or maybe it's figurative. But the point is, the despair has grown to the point that David, he would have been quite happy to see his life come to an end. He was literally saying, "Lord, give me some relief. And if it don't come, let me just die." I mean, he was at the end of his rope, literally. He felt like he was the walking dead. And I'm not talking about some zombies. Right? He didn't have the energy. He didn't have any drive. He didn't have any passion. No action. Just a damp, cold existence. That's where he had gotten to. Now let me tell you something. I could have very well easily jumped to verse 5 for our happy conclusion. Let me read you verse 5 again. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I could have jumped straight to that. I could have bypassed those first 4 verses, right? Hurry up, let's get to that happy conclusion. But I didn't. You see, too often we do that in the church. We skim past the struggles that people have. We hurry to try to hurry up and patch things together, right? Put that Band-Aid on the pain. But notice 2/3 of our scripture reading this morning, 2/3 of it is focused on the struggle, and only 1/3 of it is focused on the hope. How about you? How about you? Can you be at peace when someone is trying to put a Band-Aid over your deep wound? Can you be at peace when someone's trying to put that Band-Aid over your deep struggle, the tribulation that you're going through, that hurt, that pain, right? Smiling back at them with that blank Christian smile as they tell you, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. And then the only time that they mention you in prayer is when they thank God that they're not in your shoes. I'm being a little cynical here because I've experienced it. And not only have I experienced it, but I've also been guilty of doing it. See, most of the time, it's real easy to say, I'm going to pray for you, instead of getting your hands dirty with the pain that seems to be oozing out of what you've got going on. The call of the Christian life is to find those who are hurting and come to their aid. To share in that pain. You remember Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We've got a job to do, church. Paul praises God in 2 Corinthians 1:4 because God says this, or he says this in relation to God, God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we have already received from Christ. Friends, we have an amazing opportunity to be a beacon in this world, a world that's hurting right here, right now. In this crazy, chaotic, sinful world. And we do that by coming along beside another person, Christian or non-believer. And then we walk through that valley of that shadow of death with that person. And we proclaim Jesus Christ to them. Our love of Jesus, His love of us, and victory over death. One of the things that we struggle with the most when we're in those moments of despair is to have a lack of heavenly hope. You say, what are you talking about, Donnie? I'm talking about the hope that we have not in this world. Instead, we have hope in the world that is to come. That's heavenly hope. It's the hope that better things are coming, and we know it. It's the hope that we already have secured victory over death, and death will never defeat us. Too many times we hear the expression today that says that we're alive today and are dying tomorrow. Let me tell you something. That is wrong. As a believer, that is wrong. A believer's life is just the opposite of that. We're dying today, but there's coming a day when we're so fully alive and fully vibrant, and that day happens when we die. Do you have that hope? Do you have that joy? Do you have that faith? And not only do you have it, but are you cultivating it? Are you showing it? Are you sharing it? I read a poem this past week. I'm going to read to you. It came from a 96-year-old lady living in a nursing home in Kentucky. She was trying to understand why God had allowed her to live such a long life. But she kept her faith in Him and trusted that He knew best. So she wrote this poem. Let me read it to you. There are always two sides, the good and the bad. The dark and the light, the sad and the glad. But in looking back over the good and the bad, we're aware of the number of good things we've had. And in counting our blessings, we find when we're through, we've no reason to complain, no reason to be blue. So thank you, God, for good things that He's already done. And be grateful to Him for the battles you've won. And know the same God who helped you before is ready and willing to help you some more. 96 years old. Too many times we get caught up in our problems. Too many times we get caught up in our circumstances. Too many times we get caught up in our issues, in our bubble, if you will, our world, and forget that there's things going on outside. Too many times we get focused on ourselves, our issues, real issues or imagined issues, and we forget about God. But listen, take David as an example. God wants us to admit our doubts. He wants us to admit our fears. God wants us to acknowledge that we don't understand. He wants us to acknowledge. He wants us to cry out and say, God, are you still there? Because it doesn't feel like it. I need to hear from you. See, the beauty in the Psalms is the sincerity. It shows the Bible is a book of honesty by speaking complaints to God. Now, you're not going to hear a lot of preachers preach like this, but listen to me. All through the Bible, God wants us to come to Him, to shout out to Him, to question, to ask Him. And we aren't always going to sing the Psalms of Thanksgiving. At times, we're going to feel worthless, discouraged. We're going to feel defeated. The song's not always going to be one of praise. Maybe a song of despair. May not always carry a bold theme of total confidence. It may be a somber theme of distrust and even fear. Right? You're not going to hear this from Joel Osteen. I'm just telling you right now. It's real. I'm preaching real. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the things that David went through and how he spoke to God. He had a relationship, an intimate relationship with God. And this is how he spoke to Him. And listen to this. Psalms 13 started out in a depressing and a somber tone. Did it not? It slowly developed into a theme of confusion. Soon, distress and despair created tension and uneasiness. But by the end of this chaos, it's resolved. David's forgetfulness of God turned into the realization of God's unfailing love. Pain and sorrow are comforted by a rejoicing heart. Death is defeated by salvation. Right? In the middle of David's despair, he suddenly changes his prayer. He goes from being hiding in a corner almost, kind of how I picture this, laying down, asking God, how much longer? To jumping to verse 5 and saying, but I trust your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. How is that for an about face? How is that for going from one direction to a totally opposite direction? I mean, what led him to change his thoughts? Had David's circumstances changed? Has his issues changed? Has his problems changed? No. None of it changed. Nothing changed except David's faith, except David's hope, except David's joy. Right? David remembered. He was having a conversation with God. He got through his pity party, and then God reminded him, or he reminded himself, about what God had done for him in the past, how good God had been to him. David stopped looking inward, and he started looking upward. And that changed his perspective. You hear that? David stopped looking just inside his bubble. He stopped looking inward. He started looking upward, and it changed his entire perspective. David looked back on his life, and he was able to see the many, 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 many blessings and many times that God had saved him. Even though the situation was the exact same, nothing changed about what was going on in his life. His heart was now filled with joy. David had gone from tears to truth to triumph, and nothing in his life changed. No circumstances changed. His issue didn't change. His bubble didn't change. Friends, when we find ourselves in times of despair, when we find ourselves sucked in to looking at just inward, just looking at our world and thinking how bad everything is going, there's a couple things we can do to get out of that very, very quickly. Very first thing, call on God. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? Call on God. Now, I'm going to change that up a little bit. I'm talking verbally call out to God like David did. Do just the exact same thing as David did. Shout out, scream out if you got to. Let God know your pain. Let Him know your hurt. Let Him know what you're going through. God's a big God. He can take it. He would rather you cry out to Him than sit in your corner and pout and sulk and feel sorry for yourself. Give it a try sometimes. Fall down on your knees. Fall down on your face. Roll over on your back if you got to, but shout out to God. Let Him know what you're dealing with. He wants to hear from you. It's a part of that relationship where you can sit there and talk to Him and let Him know what's going on. Let God know your pain. Let Him know your feelings. What it is that's making you feel so desperate. What makes you feel so discouraged and distant from Him. Let me tell you something. You do that, and that, my friend, is a prayer from the heart. And God knows, and God hears, and God responds to that type of prayer. He wants you to call out to Him, to shout out, to cry out. Second thing, call on a brother and sister in Christ for help. In that order, you call out to God, verbally shout out to God. Talk to Him about your pain. Talk to Him about your suffering. And then call a brother and sister in Christ for some help. Ask someone to pray with you. Ask someone to listen to you. Ask someone to sit with you. Tell that person what you're going through. Just like you did, just like you got done talking to God, now tell that friend, that brother or sister in Christ, what you've got going on and how bad it hurts. You don't have to go through these dark times in your life alone. The great truth of Christianity is that we're supposed to be there for each other. Right? Don't think for a minute that you have got to go through whatever it is you're going through by yourself. And do me a favor. Don't do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Tell somebody else that you're hurting. Get off the horse that you're riding called pride. And tell somebody. Ask for some prayer. Ask for someone to sit there. Talk to you. And if you have a problem with that, then you're carrying that burden on yourself and it's your fault. You cry out to God, and then you cry out to a brother and sister in Christ and let somebody help you. I'm going to say it again. Get off the horse called pride and reach out to somebody. You don't ever have to go through these dark times in your life alone. The great truth of Christianity is that we're all supposed to be there for each other. But no, it's too easy to sit at my house with this big, huge problem that I got and don't tell nobody about it. Right? Don't expect somebody else in the church to know what you're going through if you ain't telling nobody about it. You're carrying that weight and it's your fault. Grant somebody the opportunity to help you in your time of need. And guess what else? Grant someone the opportunity to be a blessing to you. You're not alone. If you are, it's because you put yourself there. God is with you. He promised to never fail you, never abandon you. And if you're bold enough, hear me out, if you're bold enough to ask a brother or sister in Christ to help you, you know what's going to happen? They're going to come to your aid. There's people out there, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church that want to help. But too often we've got that pride about us that we don't need to ask for help. I'm okay. I can handle this on my own. I can carry this weight. It ain't nobody else's problem. It's mine. Well, guess what? It is your problem, and you will carry it. Until you get off that prideful horse, call out, cry out to God. Call out, cry out to a brother and sister in Christ, and let them help you. You're not alone. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to feel desperate. It's okay to feel despair. But know that we have a God that wants to hear from you. He wants you to pour out your heart to Him. He wants you to cry out, to shout out even to Him. He wants to hear about your issues. He wants to hear about your circumstances. He wants to hear about your world. In closing, got to stop here. I'm going to keep on going. In closing, next time you're hurting, find yourself in that period of waiting, or you're in the middle of that storm, call on Jesus, just like David did. Shout out if you got to. Call on the master physician, the one that calms the storms, the one that knows it all. Call on the one who says in Matthew 11, 28 through 29, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I am so thankful. So thankful that I don't have to carry this world on my own shoulders. I don't have to carry my circumstances alone. I don't have to carry my issues alone. I can turn them over to you. I can say, I need you, Father. I can cry out to you. I can shout out to you. I can do what David did and say, Lord, where are you? I need you. Thank you for that type of relationship. Thank you so very much. Lord, I ask you to be with every person that is watching and listening. And I hope that the Holy Spirit, I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit touches someone, just one single person, Lord, with the message that you laid on my heart. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think it's important to point out, if you didn't already get this, that entire chapter 13 in Psalms, that entire 6-verse chapter is a prayer. You got that right? That, everything I read, David is praying to God. And did you notice the change that David had from verse 1 to verse 5? David, in his prayer, started out, well, in a pit. He was in a hole, pretty much. But by the time he got done praying, by the time he got to the very end of that praying, he was full of praise. Listen to me. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes. It might not change your circumstances, but I'm going to tell you what it will do. Just like David, it'll change your perspective. So I challenge you. Get caught up in prayer and watch things grow and watch things change. Thank you all for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.